Hey, thanks for being here. I'm Matt Whitman. This is the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. This is the audio version of what happens in video form over on my YouTube channel of the same name. You can also find everything 10-Minute Bible Hour at the10minutebiblehour.com. All right, let's get started. Today is my first day fishing on the Pacific Ocean, which is pretty cool, except we didn't catch anything at all. And also I tried to fly fish with a gigantic deep sea rig. And so my brain told me to immediately put on the handbrake when I had my only bite of the day. And apparently that's not a good idea. Here's the thing though, that was the closest we came to catching anything. We've been out here for hours. It would blow my mind if we caught one fish, let alone so many fish that our boat almost sunk. The story we're looking at today in Luke chapter 5 is a story about exactly that happening to a bunch of people who knew the place they were fishing a whole lot better than I know this place.
If you were to just sit down and read right through all four biblical accounts of the life of Jesus, one of the things that you would see that comes up all the time is fishing and fishing metaphors. Why? Well, I think it's a product of geography. Jesus did a huge percentage of this ministry stuff and miracles and all of that in northern Israel around this body of water called the Sea of Galilee, sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias or Lake Genesaret. You don't hear that one quite as often. It's this teardrop-shaped lake, fresh water that sits below sea level. And there are all these little villages all around it where people would put out and fish. And this was a huge part of their economy. So even the people who weren't fishermen by trade still understood the business and understood the metaphor. So Jesus seizes on that metaphor a lot. Jesus and seizes rhymes. And that's the first time that's ever occurred to me. This is kind of a big moment. And he does so maybe most famously here in Luke chapter 5. So he is up around the Sea of Galilee with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. A couple things going on here. One, we see a continuation of an earlier theme in Luke that Jesus is deeply connected to the word of God. He used it to fend off the temptation attempts by his enemy in the desert. And we see it as a theme that develops throughout all the Gospels of a point of connection between he and his Father, which is his most important, most treasured relationship. So when it says that he was teaching them the word of God, or that they were listening to the word of God, I think what we can read into that is that he's opening their eyes to the grand redemptive story of the scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament, so that they'll understand and gradually figure out that, oh, like, you're the completion of this whole redemptive thing that God is doing. Put that on pause for just a minute. There's a cool little thing that happens here in terms of Jesus' relationship with nature, which, according to the Bible, he's the author and sustainer and creator and maker of. Like, he's fully involved in creation. He's not a created being. He predates existence as we understand existence. And so he knows these rules really well. And we just got done seeing examples of him breaking those rules miraculously with no explanation, just to back up those claims about him being the Son of God. But he has an opportunity to do the same thing right here, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of people gathered around. He could do like a magic microphone miracle where instead of just yelling really loud, he just spoke in a normal voice, and the crowds were awed because they could all hear him because of the voice, the lake voice miracle. But he doesn't do that. Instead, in this situation, he leans on his understanding of the laws of physics that he wrote and designed, goes out into a boat, understanding that the way temperature and the surface of water interact makes it so that your voice carries better over water than it does over land. Like, this is a real, actual thing. And so he projects, and this crowd hears him, but it looks like there were two agendas to this. One, to be heard, but two, to connect with the people who own this boat. So in verse 4, it says, "When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon," that's the guy who owns the boat, "put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Okay, before we get into Simon's response, and Simon, again, this is Peter, like super famous Peter, like the Peter who you see holding the keys to the kingdom of God in all Roman Catholic art. This is like the St. Peter who's in all the jokes, who meets you at the pearly gates of heaven, that guy. So this is, I mean, this is his first time on screen. What are we going to learn about him? Well, right off the bat, we see that his character shines through. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Peter is constantly correcting Jesus and telling him how things actually are. Peter's the one who always knows how the world actually works. And oh, silly, naive Jesus, you just don't know. And this really all the way up until the night of Jesus' arrest is what their relationship dynamic is like. Well, at the same time, let's have a little sympathy for Peter here. I've never met the Messiah. I don't know what I would do. I'd assume I'd be skeptical to a healthy degree. And so Peter is that. He knows the lake, just like those guys I was fishing with in Nicaragua know that water. They know where the fish are. They know where the fish aren't. They know when the fish are. They know when the fish aren't. I'm a somewhat experienced fly fisherman, and I've got a really good sense of when the water has just turned off. Now, you can be killing it with exactly the right fly in exactly the right conditions, and something happens. A cloud rolls in, or maybe the fish are just sick of it, or there's a little temperature change, and boom, it's done. This is a different kind of fishing, but they're doing the math and they know what they're doing. But it says when they'd done so, that is, put the nets in the water, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. To you and me, we think of fishing as being a largely recreational activity. Certainly that's how I view it. I don't keep the fish I catch. I don't really like the way fish taste, so I don't eat the fish I catch. I just look at them, compliment them on their beauty, and put them back and try to catch them again later. Maybe a few of you are commercial fishermen, but that's what these guys were. So those fish don't just represent like things to, you know, take pictures of and post at the, you know, the local brag board at the sporting goods store. That's money. So just picture whatever line of work you're into and whatever the thing, the metric is that happens that makes you money and that makes you, you know, feel success in your job. Now imagine the patterns that you see in your work, in your business, whatever it is. Like, well, the curve always looks like this. You see it every week, all the time. And imagine the curve just got obliterated and did something insane that you've never, ever, ever seen happen before. The original audience would have understood how weird this thing was and what the implications were for these guys. So they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So again, this would be like something happening in your business that breaks your infrastructure. You can't accommodate that degree of web traffic. You can't bring in that many new customers at once. They didn't even have nets that could accommodate this. Their infrastructure was broken by it. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats, both boats so full that they began to sink. And I love Canada, so let's not take that as a personal thing between us, but you do say a boat. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He knows the business so well. He knows the lake so well. He knows what is possible and what is impossible. And though this might slide by you and I, it's like, oh great, they had a good day fishing. It couldn't slide by this guy. He was an expert. Jesus met him where he was at. He spoke this guy's language. And he did something, not just to hook him up with like, "Hey, you seem like a good guy. Here's a miracle. You prayed the right words." No, no, no. He was making a theological point that would make sense to Simon Peter, somebody who was going to be wildly influential in the history of church. His only response is to say, "My brain is broken. My heart is broken. My context for reality is broken. Truly, you are God, and truly, I am not." He gets where he stands. He gets where Jesus stands. Now, quick side note. Throughout the book of Luke, you are going to see again and again and again this theme of people assuming a right posture before the Son of God, the King. This is Simon Peter's conversion moment, and it says, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to them, said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Did you catch that? They left everything. It wasn't about the fish. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about what they got now. It was about Jesus. He had broken through to these guys. So they left the fish. They left the nets. They left the boats. They were off to do a completely different thing. So this is an amazing account of Jesus using both the miraculous and his incredible understanding of the psychology of the people he's trying to connect with to build his church, to accomplish his redemptive purposes and to do it in a way that would make sense to the people he was trying to reach.
I'm Matt Whitman. This has been the 10 Minute Bible Hour podcast. The 10 Minute Bible Hour podcast is taken straight from the audio of my 10 Minute Bible Hour YouTube program. You can find that with a cursory Google search or by going to the 10minutebiblehour.com.